and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio. Generally a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, but this is our special off-season summer recap version. Samuel, World Cup season overview. Welcome back. Good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good, Newman. Thank you for having me in your lovely abode. It's great to be back in the Sutherland Shire. I'm looking forward to a new season, Newman. I'm ready to go.
Wow. We're currently in the throes of October, so you probably can't get further away from the NRL season, but there is a World Cup going on to keep our appetites ticking over, and the Sharks are well represented. The Storm have won the Premiership. What else has been going on?
Played some gigs.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Oh, good.
I believe you saw some live music.
Yeah, Pennywise in the Bronx. I went on Sunday.
Yeah, who won that fight?
Well, there was a couple of fights. Very ugly things to see, but the Bronx, that was a first-round knockout in their favour, as you can imagine.
Odds on there, I think. But yeah, just looking forward to next season, in all honesty. Just, going to gather our thoughts, see what we're going to do with the podcast and everything. And it's an exciting time. It's almost like we're in some sort of transition as a club.
Yeah, very much.
But there's still a lot of hope there. So it's kind of a weird transition, which we'll get to in the next hour or so. But
well, rather than do the news, why don't we just rip in and start talking all things Sharks?
Okay, this is the news then.
There has been a few player movements and administration movements. I guess the biggest one is Big Lyle moving along. There were rumours that he was going off to Manly, bubbling along, but it has now been confirmed. He hasn't confirmed at Manly, but he has confirmed he's leaving the Sharks, and he said he wants to spend more time with his family, and judging by the fact he lives on the north side of the harbour, that would be hand in glove. So what did you make of that, Samuel?
Lyle's journey is over with the club. It's been a very successful one. It can't have been any more successful, and it didn't take that long. He came in at the end of that awful 2014 season. He brought through a big A big cultural shift. It started with the fan forums, as you reminded me just before off air, which was a wonderful thing to do. The fans were on board pretty early. He had a great track record before him. And in 2015, we had a great year on the field and off the field. 2016 was historic. Last year, not too bad either. So he's a guy that comes in and makes a place better and then leaves. And he did that, so A-plus is the rating I'm giving him.
Absolutely, A-plus, and we would love to keep him on for longer, but I don't think anyone was under any illusions that he was here for the long haul. He was always here to enact cultural change and bring success in the organisation, which he did. I always knew as soon as he didn't move his family down to the Shire from the north side where they lived, that he was never going to be a long-term proposition. And unfortunately, we're the poorer for his departure. I can't see really anybody in the CEO landscape being as shrewd an operator, as good on all levels as he was.
My favourite thing about him, and I'm not trying to be funny here or anything, but was when the proverbial ship went down on occasions, he cleaned it up so well, particularly with the media, which in the past we've been disastrous with.
Yeah, we flipped and flopped, and we've sort of been so quick to jump to appear to be doing the right thing that we've sold players down the river. I mean, you could say we sort of did that with the Todd Carneys of the world, the Brett Seymours of the world, the Greg Birds of the world, where Lyle, although with the Andrew Fifita type stuff, you know, he played that perfectly in the end. You know, the Storm eventually blew over, and the next news come along, and you've still got that good player at your club. You know, it's a bit of a nasty business, rugby league, sometimes, and the club is not always going to make you proud, but dumping players left, right and centre just didn't work, and he changed that. He certainly changed that mentality.
Even if you look at the day that he announced that he was leaving officially, it was the day that Cooper Cronk went to the Roosters, so they timed it really well to avoid a huge kind of backlash from anyone.
Because it's off-season, right? That would have been a big news story on any other day. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Well done, Samuel.
Thanks, Newman.
Hey. So, anyway, we should send a message to Lyle and say, Lyle, thank you. You were a big supporter of Sharkcast from its inception. He was our first ever interview.
Is that right?
That's right. I went up to the what is now the Sharks store.
Okay.
The Immortals Bar, and sat down with him and recorded a little interview on my iPhone, and he was he's very good, and he said, you know, we shouldn't expect miracles, and he wasn't a miracle worker, but geez, I tell you what, he did a good job.
I hope that, you know, it's not the last we see of him. The strong rumour is he's going to Manly. He's got a big job ahead of him there, but you have to believe that he can do it, so...
Now, we should tell the story now he's not in the organisation about right. the meeting that we had with him.
Ooh.
For those who remember that Ooh. When Shane Flanagan came on the show and announced that Paul Gallen would be...
Easy, Newman, easy.
...would be going to retire from...
It's the first I've heard of this.
...from
representing
Rugby League, which turned out not to be the case, and he announced that on Sharkcast. So... we went onto Twitter and, you know, said that this is what was said. Lyle pulled us in and basically hauled us over the coals for doing that.
Yeah,
he?
Yeah.
And we said, so?
Well, we had a bit of a back and forth with him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very, I mean, you're a big man, Newman. You're a physically big man. You're a businessman. I'm just a little kid from the suburbs, man. And it was a very unique experience for me. But for us to stand our ground against the CEO was pretty cool.
It was a couple of bulls in the top paddock, wasn't it? Yeah. He had his position and he was sticking to it.
He was like he wasn't mean to us or anything, but he
was
basically
very firm, wasn't he?
He was firm, and he also alleged a few things that weren't true.
Yeah,
and we stuck to our truth, and it was a little bit uncomfortable there for a little while, but it blew over. He was very professional.
It was. We could say more. He accused us of leaking that. Directly to journalists, so basically shopping the story, ringing rugby league journalists and shopping the story. Now, we didn't do that. We did put it on Twitter, and journalists picked it up from Twitter.
Yes.
But we had this back and forth with Lyle where he said that we'd gone essentially to the journalist market and shopped it as a story.
Yes.
And that was a very, very tense meeting. And we thought the horse may have bolted with Lyle and we were in the naughty list after that. But he was always very supportive. And
it was kind of the opposite. It's almost like he respected us for doing our thing. And after that, the guests were flowing thick and fast.
And he came on the show a couple of times, and a couple of times admittedly bored everyone to death, didn't he?
I thought he was thoroughly engaging in his journey. And
remember the time we interviewed him in the bar and under the ETs?
Yeah.
And he was just...
That was with the speaker situation.
Yeah, the psycho babble there was... But I mean, he did a great job. He stayed on message and... When he did the shoey, that was possibly the most punk rock moment in the history of rugby league administration.
And you cannot fault him for his communication.
No.
If we emailed him right now, which we probably will, and say, hey, thanks for everything, he'll get back to you within like 10 minutes. Yeah, no worries. Appreciate it.
He's great. He's fantastic.
You can't ask more than that.
What we understand with the CEO job is the current CFO is doing, I can't remember his name, he's doing the job in Lyle's absence. I believe that will continue.
Okay.
I believe that will continue. Maybe if someone else puts their hand up that's got a really high profile, but I believe he's been trained up to do the job. Now, player movement. Jared Beale signed a deal with the New Zealand Warriors.
Mm.
He will be departing. And it's interesting that you said that we felt like we were in a bit of a moment of transition. Now that Lyle's gone and now Bealey's gone, you very much feel like that premiership gang has been weakened, very, very, very much weakened.
It has, but like I said, it's still hanging around. There's still a great pack of premiership winners in the team. Pack being a loose term for a group of players.
Sorry, I also should add, Chris Hyington.
Jay Bird.
Yeah, Chris Hyington has also moved on to Newcastle. Quite a bizarre thing. I was driving down the street when they announced it on the radio. I think I was listening to one of the AM stations and they announced that Chris Hyington was going to Newcastle, and then he walked across the street in front of me with little Rocco.
You say, hey, congratulations.
I pulled over and had a chat to him.
Yeah, nice guy.
And he said he's at the stage of his career where there's no big money contracts coming his way, but he still wants to keep playing and he's going to make more money playing football than anything else. So
he'll do a good job for him too. Won't let him down.
Both those guys were good friends of the Sharkcast, Chris Hyington in particular.
Absolutely. Jack Bird to Brisbane, which has been well documented.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him in a jersey yesterday, in a Brisbane jersey.
Yuck.
Also, dodgy shoulder, out for round one.
Is he?
Yeah, he's getting recon.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So he went up there, did the medical, and they went, yeah, you're not so good. Which, you know, that's that's unfortunate for him.
I'm going to go on record again and say that Dougs is a massive upgrade on Jack Bird.
Oh, we're going to get into that at some point, but it's official. He's a Shark. Jay Dugan is a Shark.
Dougs.
Welcome aboard.
Scoring tries in the World Cup.
My arms are open, Newman. You can confirm it. I'm welcoming him to the club.
So from the 2016 Premiership side, we have now lost Lyle Gorman, Ben Barber, Michael Ennis, Chris Hyington, Jared Beal. Who else?
Jack Bird.
James Shepherd.
Steve Price. You haven't mentioned that yet.
Yeah, Steve Price has moved on to Warrington and he's taking Shep with him. Or is Shep going to Newcastle?
No, Shep's going to Newcastle, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Darren Mooney move.
So we welcome Jim Dimmick into the family again. For the second time.
And I got a text from a very excited Luke Cavell saying, Jim Dimmick, welcome back.
Oh, cool.
He was pumped. He said, Jim Dimmick's great.
He would have worked under him.
Yeah, very popular member around the players, very shrewd footy brain.
He was a good player.
And he was a good player. So, I mean, he's been around the traps.
Yeah. You don't hold a job for that long without, you know, being professional. So, you know, he'll be good for the Sharks.
Yeah, so that's the player movements. There's also been some other news around the lower grades. That's the last we will see of the Toyota Cup, Holden Cup NYC National Tournament.
Is it Toyota Cup or Holden Cup?
Oh, I can't remember.
Holden Cup.
Under 20s now becomes a regional tournament where I think we only play New South Wales teams.
It's a bit of a mess.
It'll be Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. And playing against all the other New South Wales teams, and I think,
but we're in like a region with Canterbury and St George,
and I believe New Zealand are also involved.
Okay,
but in terms of that, big hearty congratulations to our great mate Dave Howlett, who has been appointed under 20s coach.
Really?
Yes,
that's a very big career move. Congratulations.
And in other lower grades news, after some speculation, the relationship with the Newtown Jets will continue, Samuel.
Yes, so we can continue to walk down King Street in our Jets hats and have some affiliation with the Sharks. It's a wonderful relationship. Historic. Let's hope it's a little bit more successful this year on the field. But, you know, it's not a bad thing to be associated with them from a, I don't know, popular culture, merchandise, the whole thing.
It's rock and roll. It's rock and roll. Rock and roll club.
Yeah.
I think it's a good fit.
You'd rather that than a Central Coast team or whatever.
Cabramatta.
Yeah.
Which is where I believe we were looking at hooking up with.
But again, from a playing point of view, I think we need to see a bit of improvement there. So, which is the most important thing, I guess.
Other player signing news. Todd Carney.
We've signed Todd Carney.
Has signed.
Put it on Twitter.
The Northern Pride in the Queensland Cup.
What's the Northern Pride?
They're up miles.
I know what a Northern Pride is.
Way up the top.
Now, what's his reason for this?
I believe he got up to no good in the Super League and was ushered out of Salford Red Devils.
I believe half the team was ushered out of the Salford Red Devils, from what I heard. But he obviously, with a bit of an apology, could have signed with an NRL club, right?
NRL, as far as I know, is still refusing to register his contract.
Right. But is this club associated with the NRL that he signed
They're
with?
They're a feeder club for
They're a Queensland
the Cowboys.
Cup team, right? Queensland Cup.
A Queensland Cup team that are a feeder club for the Cowboys, but unless the NRL are going to register his contract, he won't be playing NRL.
Okay.
And I believe with him being sacked from Salford for disciplinary reasons, I don't think he's got a good chance of that. But, I mean, it's such ancient history now, it doesn't even really fit with the Sharks.
I couldn't care less. Is he getting on in age a little bit? Has he still got a few good years in him? I mean, he's a talented kid.
He was a bad defender when he was with us.
Yeah.
And now he's been in the Super League for whatever many years. Yeah. They don't get better at defending.
No, well, I'm talking more from a playmaker point of view. Has he still got some years in him?
For a Queensland Cup level team, probably.
I don't know. I think you might have something.
Oh, God, Sam.
I'm all for second and third chances, but I don't know about fourth and fifth, so.
All right, well, what we'll do is we will cut to a break. We haven't said our wonderful sponsors, Dyson Logistics, so we'll go to a break. And when we'll come back with more news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467 233 153. That's 0467 233 153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Shark Cast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
So Gallen, oh, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
Welcome back to the show. I didn't say up front that we are brought to you proudly by Dyson Logistics, but hopefully you already knew that. Normally I talk about the news washing in across the mangrovey shores of Botany Bay, but we're already ripping into that, Samuel, so we go on. And there is a World Cup happening.
There is.
With plenty of Sharks in effect.
Have you watched many games?
I've watched a couple of games.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be. I add my work, I get to work on it pretty closely, which is a blessing and a curse. Got to say, Newman, the newest Shark, Jay Dugan, in the first game, close to man of the match.
Mate, he was good in that game. Scored the winning try, or the try to ice the game. Made a lot of meters. Was tough, and a lot of every time he carried the ball, he was dangerous. And I said it earlier on. I think he's an upgrade on Jack Bird. I think Jack Bird might be able to pull out, you know, the game winning moment. Probably he has that more in his arsenal than than Dugan.
Yeah.
But week to week, you're going to get more out of Dugan.
I was impressed with the effort. And I was impressed with the meters. So if he plays like that, or even close to it, it's going to be a very good purchase. I'm not a huge fan, but I'm definitely open to seeing what he can do, and I can certainly understand why they signed him.
Now, did it warm the cockles of your hearts to see genuine affection between your boyfriend Val Holmes and Jay Dugan?
Give me a good hand. Let's do it now, though.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a million different...
hands, a very long shake.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to see. They're going to have a handy combination no matter what the scenario is on the field for the Sharks. So it's important they get along. It's important they're mates. And I was thinking about it on the way over here, Newman, that, you know, it's another good reason for me to put the boot into the Dragons. But shit club team.
Yeah.
Excuse the language.
Yeah.
Came from Canberra. And when he came from Canberra, they weren't really a premiership-winning team either. To see him in a team like ours, well, we hope we're going to be, it could be a new Josh Dugan. That's what I'm hoping for.
And you saw it in the Australian team.
Yeah.
How good he looked with good players around. That's the that's the case for any player.
Of course.
A good player will always look good in a better team, the same way that a bad player is going to look better. You know, rising tide lifts all boats, Samuel, as the proverb goes.
Our friend Joseph Paulo was close to man of the match. Well, sorry, best player for his team.
Now, this presents a conundrum.
Yes.
Our friend Joseph Paulo. We
signed for one more year for the Sharks.
Yes, which is also good news. And we've...
soon to be a father.
...created a little bit of a pop culture phenomenon by referring to him as Captain America, which has somewhat caught on.
I haven't about this, yeah.
If you read about... if you read the forums, a lot of people call him Captain America because in the 2013 World Cup, he captained the United States. He's not playing for America.
No.
And captaining them.
No.
So, write into us on Twitter. Should we continue to call Joseph Paulo Captain America? Because I think it's a good good nickname.
Well, it's not like he's going to lose the accolade. He always will be a captain of America.
Mm.
He was pretty good. He was playing 5/8. I don't know what happened to New Brown, but New Brown did not appear in that match.
When you got Ben Roberts...
Yeah.
I mean, Joey does a great job at 6, but you'd think...
Well, he's not a 6, that's the thing, and he still played fairly strong.
You'd think that having New Brown somewhere in that team when his halves are Joey Paulo and Ben Roberts, you're going to gain something. But
I enjoyed the aspects of the World Cup, like Lebanon and guys like Mitchell Moses, you know, chipping and chasing them in the game. That for a minor team, I think that's kind of cool.
How far they cool can... because I've got a big thing for French rugby league.
Do you?
Yeah, and that's disappointing.
Well. I don't know how they're going to go in this tournament, you remember?
Terribly now. They only had to win that game to make the quarterfinals.
You're aware of French rugby league history? You know all about...
Yeah, the Vichy and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
What
was their...
Hugh Albert.
The greatest player ever, yeah.
Yeah.
He used to smoke cigarettes at fullback.
On the field, yeah. So yeah, that's why I like
aware of that.
But, disappointing days for the French rugby league. So, other Sharks. Andrew Fifita played for Tonga, and Ricky Uiteli played for Samoa, and it was a very Fifita-like performance.
Now, fill me in, because it's probably the one game I didn't see.
Well, it was absolute one-way traffic, the Fifita, the Tonga game, poor old Scotland. It was men against boys, and I was in the bar getting ready for Pennywise in the Bronx watching it, and like it just looked like Scotland never had the ball. And this is a problem with the Rugby League World Cup, like with... In soccer, a minnow can hold out by changing their tactics and just playing super negative. And like, they still might get beaten, but it was a game where Scotland were kicking off, Tonga were just rolling out the field, scoring a try, and then Scotland had to kick off again.
And how did Big Andy go?
Right, he's just running over the top of them.
Oh, he was good.
Yeah, he did some great charges and terrible play the ball. And when the space was in front of him, he really started to crab across field a bit, but he was good for them.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's talked in social media about genuine affection because his grandfather was Tongan.
Okay.
They'll be hard to stop. The Tongans and the Fijians will be hard to stop.
But Fiji were good.
No one's going to beat Australia. That's who else was active in the Rugby League World Cup?
Who else?
Ricky. I didn't see the Samoa game. How was Ricky Uiteli for Samoa?
I don't know if I saw that game either. Wade Graham was solid for Australia.
Yes, he was.
I think that was his debut, right, for Australia.
It was. Well, he played for the Prime Minister's team.
Right, right.
And he's got a starting spot this weekend against the French, which will be... The French are being given a 52-point start by the bookies.
Right.
So that's probably not going to be a rugby league classic. You can't underestimate the value of being involved in these squads and how good it is for our players to do that, for the things that they bring back to club footy.
Yeah.
It's very important that we have players playing for Australia, and Maloney will also play against France this weekend. So we've got players all through that tournament, and hopefully they bring passion and professionalism back after a decent break.
Now, just on the World Cup, Newman, there's a World Cup happening about 2 metres away from where we are very shortly. It's the Women's Rugby League World Cup. I think every game, it's like a tournament maybe? I don't know, we need to confirm this, but there's a lot of games at Shark Park.
Yeah, right.
It's like the main arena.
But get down there. The girls rip in, man.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be
good.
Watching
girls rugby league is fantastic.
I think the term is women's, but yeah.
Yeah, women's rugby league.
Yeah.
Ladies, the ladies.
No, team. Women's. Mary will be onto us. Just be careful. Mary will be onto us.
So that's really good. Now, other news coming from Sharks. They've launched a Sharks Monopoly game. Have you seen this?
No.
It looks fantastic. It's available in the Sharks store. And instead of having Pentonville Station and Liverpool Station, it's Woolooware Station, Cronulla Station, and you buy players.
Yeah?
As opposed to property. And the three, you know, the Park Lane, Mayfair, those guys is Paul Gallen, E.T. and Steve Rogers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So it looks great. So we should get a set of Sharks Monopoly and have a game.
Yeah, and do you sort of go through the locker room at Sharks Leagues? Is it all very sort of Cronulla-based?
It's all 100% Cronulla-based. So instead of having properties, you buy players. Yeah. You land on the players as opposed to buying streets. And the railway stations, the local railway stations. I haven't seen it all, but it looks... They've been posting about it on Insta. It looks really cool.
The utilities could be King Juan or something.
100%. I think that's right. Yeah.
But no Tony. Tony's
gone. No, Tony.
Tony's still AWOL for 4 years.
Tony's gone.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Dykes. Ebbinghausen. Peachy. Fullback playing it.
Welcome back. The NRL draw has been released for 2018. The reason we missed it is I don't hold a lot of credence in the draw. You've got to play teams, you've got to play home, you've got to play away. It doesn't really matter who you play and when you play them. You have to win.
Yeah, when you have 24-hour rugby league channels and media, it becomes a new story. It is worth noting a few things. We have 2 Thursday games, 8 Friday games, 5 on Saturday, 9 on Sunday. We play the Dragons twice in the first 6 weeks, which I find quite annoying.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Our first home game...
One of those is a Thursday too, which is...
First home game against the Dragons on a Thursday. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Say goodbye to at least 5,000 fans.
Yep. Disappointing. But yeah, the good news of the draw is 9 Sunday fixtures is excellent. That'll bring a lot more people to the ground. Friday night games is excellent because that's top rating. You need to have those slots to sell sponsorship on the back of. And aside from the Dragons issue, the Dragons on a Thursday night, I think it's a pretty good result for our club.
So the start is Cowboys away, Dragons at home, Eels away, double header. Melbourne at home and the Roosters at home. So not the easiest start, but you go all the way to the end, which is quite important. Last 3 games, Newman, 2 of them at home, Cowboys and the Knights at home. Last game away to the Bulldogs. It's not a bad finish.
Yeah.
Should we need it?
But you don't know. Like, the first 6 weeks, bad teams play good, good teams play bad. You don't know what sort of impact the World Cup is going to have against teams with a heavy representation schedule. It'll interrupt a lot of people's pre-season, so I mean it's hard to say. I mean, the big news out of that is the Dragons games. You just can't understand why they'd put the local derby on a Thursday night. You think someone at the NRL would understand that it's important for both clubs to be in a good time slot.
All round 6 for them, with us in Wollongong, not Cogreen, Wollongong is a Friday night as well. So
yeah, well, trip to Wollongong, hopefully we can go down there and get the money. Now, we're going to do our season review. Samuel, talk to me about what your favourite game was, Samuel, for the year, and what your least favourite game was.
Favourite by a mile, and probably the same with a lot of people, is the game against the Roosters. I think it was round 17, up on the Central Coast. We were sort of almost through Origin, and we're yet to really put a decent team away, and everything clicked in that moment, and they were clinical, really good tries as well. It was a sold-out venue. I believe a large amount of Sharks fans were there, but it was a sold-out Roosters game. And that kind of alerted people that we were still in the hunt for the trophy, which is an important thing to state. And I think the halves had a good game that day, and they've been under the pump all year from fans and critics, so... that was an important outing for me. My least favourite game, God, I'm getting cliched here, Newman, but it would have to be the Cowboys game in the finals. It was a very winnable game. We were leading. There were some really bad things in that game that we did. Aside from the refereeing controversies, lost it fair and square, in my opinion. So disappointing to bow out. I honestly, you know, if they'd played the way they could play, they could have gone all the way. So it was disappointing, but not unexpected.
Some more stats for the season. We won 15 games and lost 11. Our average crowd was 13,196, with our biggest home crowd being a record of 20,496 versus Canterbury in round 12.
Ah.
And our top try scorer was Sasaya Fecky with 13 tries. How am I going as a stats man, Samuel?
Not bad, not bad.
Now, my favourite game, Sam, was the Canberra away game, 42 points to 16, round 2. We absolutely blew those Muppets off the park. Closely followed by the away victory a couple of weeks later against the Storm, where we beat them 11 points to 2. And both those performances were early in the year when I was holding out hope that we could go back to back.
Yeah.
And we were playing some tough, gritty football.
That was Seguiaro's debut,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Seguiaro's debut. And,
or at least it was the first game he shone in.
One of my favourite moments of the season... No, it was his debut.
It was?
One of my favourite moments of the season was... at half time in that game, where they were riling up Cooper Cronk and basically trying to fight him as they walked up the race, and I'm pretty sure that they were reminding him about what happened in the grand final a few months earlier.
His little mate Will Chambers was also picked on as well, I believe.
Yeah. So that was one of my favourite moments of the season. And the worst game for me, categorically the worst game for me, was the Brisbane away game. Went up there.
That's a personal reason, though.
Yeah, that's a personal... Well, I mean, I'm an emotional guy, Samuel, and I spent a lot of money to go up there. Me and Luke Cavell watched the game together, and it was just bloody shithouse.
Because if they'd won, it'd be like one of the greatest moments of your life.
100%.
Former Shark captain so next good. Year.
Yeah. But they were just diabolical. And there was also a moment when I'm sitting there going, this team's not going to do anything. They're not going to win the comp. They'll be lucky to win the first semi-final.
You did get to see Gal's 300th game.
I did get to see Gal's 300th game. Now, player ratings,
well,
Samuel.
Just before we go there, here's the bad news. We finished last in completion rates.
Oh, my God.
We finished last in errors, so made the most errors. We conceded the most penalties.
Well, that tells a story, doesn't it? I mean, and we talked about it all year long. Good team with good players that were able to do great things, but consistently let down with stupid errors and give away stupid penalties.
Now, some of those areas weren't so great in 2016, but they weren't that bad.
No.
The good news is defensively, we killed it.
Yep.
We conceded the second least points, the second least tries, the second least meters, the third least line breaks, and conceded the third least offload. So defensively, they're on song all season.
And the frustrating thing is, reading those stats, you know, if they even got to 10th on the completion rates, they probably would have won against the Cowboys and won four or five more games.
It's something that the coaching staff have to address.
Yeah.
If they come out in the first month and continue with that rubbish, then it's not good enough. It shows me that you're concentrating on the wrong things. Because defensively, beautiful. Attack, not too bad. Can improve, but not too bad. But the other stuff...
And when we did hold the ball, there were times there where we really got a roll on and we looked unstoppable. But
absolutely.
Unfortunately.
It's the fundamentals, yeah. Newman.
All right, let's go through the players alphabetically, Samuel.
Okay.
Jared Beale. He represented New Zealand, and unfortunately for Gerald, very bad injury. That
horrible.
Was horrible to see.
Horrible.
21 appearances for 7 tries, and he played a couple of different positions. What did you rate him, Sam?
If we're going out of 10, I'd give him in all honesty, a 7. I thought he was probably one of the more reliable players we have. I know that he's got a bit of an aura around him for being a bit unreliable in certain times. I think when
which was deserved. He was sketchy for some periods, particularly in 2016, but I agree.
I think a man can change his stripes, and I thought when he was getting criticised this season, I thought it was quite unwarranted. I thought he was particularly reliable, again, playing in all sorts of positions he probably doesn't even want to play in. His best was centre. I personally would have kept him around for the versatility factor, but the fact he's got a lot more money, the Warriors, you know, good on him, and I can see why he left and why he was let go. But I'd give him a strong 7.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. 7 for mine. Jack Bird, 17 appearances, represented New South Wales, 3 tries for the year, 17 games.
Yeah, not good enough from Jack. Played under injury sometimes, but also his care factor looked very little at times. Maybe achieving everything in the first two seasons kind of dulled it a little bit for him. I don't know, he looked a bit bored at times. He wasn't getting involved. I think if he was to have another season like that at the Sharks, you'd be questioning things.
He was obviously distracted by the whole, is he going to Brisbane, is he not going to Brisbane? When he signed for Brisbane, was he going to...
Yeah,
he was obviously,
but he signed pretty early.
That, and he said that himself.
He signed pretty early, Newman.
I'm giving him a 5. I'll spit on with his year.
Yeah, I give him a 5 too. I think it's a fair mark. I mean, he has the world at his feet, and you'll probably see him achieve more great things at Brisbane, but... not a great season.
Absolutely. I talked the talk, but did not walk the walk. So, best of luck, Jack. Not that much luck, though. Okay, young Jaden Brayley, the kid. Ooh. 21 years old. 19 appearances for 4 tries.
The kid's getting an 8.5.
Yep. Fair
I don't know why he's not getting a 10, but he's not. He's getting an 8.5.
Well, you can't... just because he's young, you can't... he wasn't a 10 out of 10 player. I think 8.5 is even high.
I'm just saying that I can't fault him too much at all. You know, he got a little bit tired. Well, big deal. He's a rookie. Yeah. Sensational year. We knew he'd be good, but potentially not that good this early. I think he's had a great mentor in Michael Ennis. I think that's played a huge part. And absolutely love him. I think he's an 80-minute player.
Yep.
Well, I think he will be, which will give us great service off the bench for someone else. And I think that he has everything going for him to become, you know, I say club legend, but what I'm talking about, you know, like a Dean Treister, a cult figure, someone will be at the club for 10 years, hopefully.
Yeah, look, I can't give him an 8.5. I'll give him a 7.5. Mm-hmm. I echo everything you say, but, you know, he's just not Cameron Smith yet.
No.
Yeah, you know, he does have some weaknesses in his game. His online defence let us down a couple of times, but... on the balance of things, fantastic. What a find, a real bright spot of the season, and a great young guy to boot. Fantastic. I bumped into him down the mall, had a long chat with him. Yeah. He was just super friendly.
He ticks every box.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, hopefully we can have him as a lifelong player. Farmanu Brown played 9 games, started 8, 1 off the bench, and 2 tries. Now he's off to the Dogs.
Yeah.
Forgettable year, never really kicked on for us.
A lot of those games are off the bench with minimal minutes. I would have liked to have seen him being given more of an opportunity. It's hard, you've only got 17 guys to pick, I get that. He's a guy that for me didn't let me down, but perhaps didn't reach the potential that I thought he would reach for whatever reason. That might be injury, it might be confidence, I'm not sure. But he's a good player, and I think he might do some things to the Dogs now they've got a new coach.
Yeah, he probably needs a change of scenery.
Yep, that's a good point, Newman. Again, a lovely, lovely young guy. I guess I'd give him maybe a 4 to 5. But again, not a great amount of opportunity to do things. So,
yeah,
I'll leave it at that.
Jason Bikuya, he played 23 games, 19 off the interchange bench, started 4 for 3 tries. I know he's a favourite of yours, Sam, but. To me, he's a poor man's Luke Lewis. He's
In what way?
Well, he just does everything Luke Lewis does, but not as good.
But he's... I don't know if that's the sort of player I see him as. I see him as more of a rampaging back rower than a skillful, silky one.
Well, where is this rampage?
Oh, he's got the meters. He's not the angriest man in the world. His throat bands are UB40.
I have never sat in Southern Cross Group Stadium and thought, that was a rampaging run
When he comes on, though, the leg speed is good. Speed is good. I told you recently he's one of my favourite players. It only dawned on me, like the light shone on me.
Some Fox Sports stats there. Maybe you can clear this up with empirical evidence. How many errors did he come up with for the season?
9. And that is not even really close to the top guys. The top guys are in the 20s.
So I probably unfair. I felt like he was a bit of an error machine.
Okay.
Maybe it just felt like when he did an error, it was when he'd come
crucial
off the bench.
Yeah.
So that you noticed it. But I don't know.
I think he's extremely reliable, Newman.
He's reliable, yeah.
And he's tough.
Yep.
I think he does a lot of things that you... The person watching the TV...
He's not flashy,
but he does a lot of things behind the scenes. He's chasing a lot on last year's performance.
Yeah.
Give him a 7.
Yeah, I can only give him a 6. I want to see more from him. If he's rampage, I want to see him rampage.
When I say rampaging, I'm talking lower body.
You said rampage. I did. You can't clarify rampage. Nobody says this runaway I'm rampaging doing it now. Steam train.
I'm doing it now.
All right. We move on to...
the kids on Twitter are going to love that.
Kate, well, yeah, write in us on Twitter. Tell us what you think.
Remember when Shanann said that Bakuya was rampaging?
Kurt Capewell, 13 starting games, 13 off the bench. Three off the bench for 4 tries. I really like this guy, but I'm starting to. I need to see more out of him to justify the affection.
For me, he's falling into the new Brown category of where do you play him, and he needs more time.
Mm.
I think that off the bench he can be an asset. I think as a back rower he can be an asset. He can get a job done for you in the back line, but it'd be a last resort emergency situation for me. Now he's getting pretty bulky and big. There's definitely potential there. Happy he's at the club.
I'd like to. I need to
needs a big
more.
Year though.
I need to see more from him. He's got the body size. He's got the line. He's got the foot speed. We saw what he was capable of in that semi-final versus the Raiders in 2016, and he was rampaging in that game.
Now again,
and then he just hasn't backed it up with another performance like that.
Sometimes not given the opportunity though.
True.
He was 18th man a lot.
Yeah.
When he wasn't named, he was 18th man.
I give him a 6.
Capes, yeah, probably no more. 5 to 6.
Yeah, 5. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, Sasaya Fecky.
You've left out Adam Clydesdale.
Is there a minimum?
Do you remember
number?
Adam Clydesdale? He played 2 games for us.
2 games off the bench. You can't. 2 games off the bench. You can't rate him.
We'll see you next year, Adam. Maybe.
Yeah. No, he's still here.
Is there? Okay.
Yeah.
One game was good.
Yeah. Sasaya Fecky represented Tonga, 24 games. So excellent. Very durable and robust. And our top try scorer with 13 tries. And traditionally not a favourite of mine, but I thought he really got a job done this year. And
recently married, just got married the other
well
week.
Well done, Sasaya. Lovely guy. Oh, it's a 7 for me.
7? Probably go 7.5 for Sasaya. His one weakness, as we all know, is under the high ball. I thought that improved a little bit. Still a way to go.
That ain't ever getting better.
It can get better. You can improve on things. But I think he's an important part of the team. He does finish the tries well. He's pretty tough to stop. If he's 10 out, it's hard to stop. And that's an important part
he's a power
of being on the wing. Yeah, rampaging.
And he starts our sets well. I think that he was probably done a disservice by not being partnered with Ricky Latelli early in the season when Edric Lee played. That might have upset his rhythm a bit. But I think that he gets everything he can out of what he's got.
I like the fact that when he makes an error, he knows it. The hands go on the hips, shakes his head.
Yep.
He knows when he's made a mistake.
All right, big Andy Fifita had a big year with the representative honours. Indigenous All-Stars, Tonga, Australia and New South Wales. He played 22 games for 1 try. I find that hard to believe that he only scored 1 try. That's crazy.
Andy Fifita, 1 try, correct.
Hard one to judge. Like, on his day, he's absolutely brilliant. 7?
I'm going 7.5. I thought when he was good, he was unstoppable. And when he was bad, he was pretty bad. But I think he had a pretty good year. I mean, that first Origin game, we're not talking about Origin, but that first Origin game sums it up.
Yeah, magnificent.
Unstoppable. Yeah. The next he's still improving. I think he's still got more in him. He's almost at the veteran level with a long way to go in his career. But I give him 7.5. The play the ball's actually improved.
It's improved. How many errors did he come up with?
Fifita errors. 24, which is getting to the higher end of
that's,
the...
That's at the high end, so you've got to knock off a lot of points for that. But he's an elite front rower, and I tell you what, the side's a lot worse without him in it. If he can cut the errors down, he's a 10 out of 10 every year.
I think maybe he needs someone else at training to sort of show him the way. He's obviously got natural skill. He hasn't got a bad footy brain, but I just think in moments like that last moment in the Cowboys final this year, run straight, Andy. You can make 15 metres. We get a field goal.
Yeah.
Don't go to the side, go for the Hail Mary. So that's what he needs to improve on.
100%. Now we move on to Wade Graham, also a big year. He played for the Australia, New Zealand, and
New South
Wales.
Zealand.
Sorry, New South Wales, not New Zealand. They both start with new, like New Brown, and City Origin for the final City vs Country. 22 games, 5 tries. He's working his way into the test team. I thought he was fantastic for us out on the edge. 7.5.
10 line breaks, 10 try assists. Important part of the cog. Again, a player I think can improve Newman on what he... Yep. Like, he's a very solid 7.5 to 8 every week. He has moments where he's higher. I think he can even improve on that. Maybe when he's captain in 2 years' time, it might lift even more. I'll give him a very strong 7.5 this year. He doesn't let you down, and when he does, it's occasional.
I want to say props to Wado, because his kicking game has improved immensely. There was a time, Samuel,
I know,
where it was pretty much guaranteed if he kicked the ball, it was going to go dead. But
I've still got your text messages.
You know,
but they dried up this year.
They dried up, and he was getting some repeat sets and putting in some very astute kicks.
Yep.
His passing game is improving. Yeah, he's 7.5 is a great... you know, unfortunately, the team need to go further to get a higher score. Paul Gallen represented nobody this year because he retired from representing football, but he would have played for New South Wales for sure had he been available for selection. 25 games, so played every game this year, and 3 tries. What can you say?
I'm going to say 9 out of 10 for Big Gal.
Yeah.
Unless my memory escapes me, he will be our best player this year for me. He led a lot of key stat categories as far as meterage and that kind of thing goes for the club and also the NRL. The game against Canterbury always sticks in one where he got out of the end goal, made the line break, got us up the field. Fantastic year. I don't know how he's doing it, but he's getting better.
Here's another stat for you. 36 years old.
Yeah, with another year to come, at least.
He's a 9. He's fantastic. For a man his age,
he's actually gotten better than you.
Yeah, he's getting better. You know, we say it all the time.
There's barely an error.
Remember we used to say, yeah, he gets his hands on the balls too much and he wants to be a playmate. He doesn't do any of that anymore.
See, I still heard that and I was just like,
shut up.
You people open your eyes.
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Occasionally, when no one else is doing something... The best player in the team wants the ball.
Wants the ball.
Doesn't mean he's hogging the ball.
No.
He had a fantastic year. Without him, don't know what happens.
Chris Hyington.
Oh, I know.
22 games. No tries. 6 out of 10 for me. Did his job.
No tries.
No tries.
Did the lap.
Moody run.
A 6 out of 10 for you?
Yep. And I think it's the right time to move him on. 35 years old. I thought he wasn't as effective as he was in 2016, but he still tried really hard.
Yeah, I'd probably even lower it to 5.5 just because the impact...
You've been really harsh today. I'm loving it.
Yeah, I know. The impact wasn't there necessarily week to week. There were some times when he was great off the bench, and sometimes it just wasn't. And in this day and age, you can't have players like that. But, as you say, the effort was there every single week, and that is a big plus in my books. And great club man. Absolutely time for him to move on, but I'm stoked that he's going to another club and he'll be great for Newcastle.
Rep honours for England, and he also played Country Origin.
Yeah.
Okay, your boyfriend, Val Holmes.
Oh, we got time for this?
22 games, 6 tries, 10 goals. He represented Queensland and also pretty much has a lock on that Australian first-choice wing position at the moment. Frustrating.
6 try assists, 10 line break assists, 12 line breaks.
I think he was well below how good he can be.
Mm.
I think he's still adjusting to the fullback position. I'm going to give him 6.5.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the criticism out there is hysterical and unwarranted. I think he's still a fantastic elite player, but he played beneath his best this year.
Why do you think that was?
I think he's just getting used to playing fullback. I think he's one of the best wingers in the world.
Right.
And he's playing out of position.
I'll give Val a 7. I thought that his receptions and carrying the ball back was a 10. Outstanding.
Yeah, you can't fault that.
As far as the playmaking stuff goes, obviously he needs to lift that a lot. But I'm also of the opinion that other guys in the team need to do that as well. Like if your fullback's your number one playmaker, well...
But he's not. No one's asking him to be his number one.
No, I know, but I'm saying...
We've got Chad and Malone.
Yeah, but
they need...
Their assists were down as well.
Hmm.
So they weren't doing their job. Val isn't ready for the job.
How many try assists did Val have?
Val had 10... 6 try assists.
Yeah, that's not good enough.
Maloney had 14.
Six try assists and six tries for a player of his calibre is just not good enough.
Maloney had 14, Chad had 10. So Chad had four more as a halfback.
Yep. But it's not Chad's role. Chad's role is more of an organiser.
Yeah.
He's to steer the team around the park, get Jimmy and Val the ball. Where Val's job is to score tries or set them up.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can argue back and forth. We've got a lot to get through.
I'm not arguing. I'm just having a little ponder.
Seven?
Christian Ponder. Yeah, give him a seven.
Seven. All right. I'll give him 6.5.
Okay.
He's still, like, there's this hysterical criticism of him on some of the forums. People saying that he's...
It's either one or the other.
Come on. He's an elite player that probably didn't play like an elite player this year.
I thought he actually played with a bit more confidence than I would have thought he had. And even when he sort of like would drop a ball or whatever, the assist wouldn't work, he bounces back, which I quite like, and it's a good attribute to have. I don't know how long we keep saying that he's learning it on the job, though, to be fair. Like, maybe another year at the most. But
you just saw, like, when it just ran the point home when he went to Queensland. Played on the wing and scored a hat-trick. Freaky good tries.
Look, if he's in my 17, if he's in my 13, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like have a bar and brawl with someone about him being fullback or not.
All right, Jeremy Lattimore, 19 games off the bench. Mm. It's a 5 out of 10 for me. Thanks for coming.
Was this Latt's second year or his only year with us? Only year.
Has not been renewed. He's going to the Dragons.
Yeah, he probably was a little bit less than what I thought he might be. At Penrith, he was a bit more effective. I would give him a 5. He's not someone who's going to get the headlines, and nor should he. And he played a role, but I probably needed him to do a bit more for me. A bit more, just a tiny bit more effectiveness off the bench, which we didn't get.
Also a nudie runner after 19 games.
Okay.
Edric Lee is not on the nudie run. He scored 2 tries for 5 appearances. Also a 5 out of 10. Thanks for coming.
Cult figure. I'll give him a 3.
Ricky the Tackle Latelli, winner. Samoan representative and winner of Shark Cast Unsung Cult Hero Medal. 27 games for the year. 25 games for the year, and scored 7 tries. Improved on 2016, I thought, is a 7.5 for mine.
Yeah, definitely a strong 7.5, close to 8 for me. He started the season a little bit rusty, had some off-field stuff going on, happening, but very, very resilient and shone in the second half of the season. Very important part of the team. I'm glad he's sticking around. More improvement in him, and I'll somewhere between 7.5 and 8, whatever that means.
Okay. 7.5 and 8. That seems fair. My boyfriend, Luke Lewis, 34 Ooh. Years old, played 22 games. Interestingly, one off the bench. 6 tries. 2 of those were magnificent runaway efforts. And no representative honours. He's retired from the rep game. For me, he gets the same rating as Gal as 9. I thought he was absolutely fantastic this year. Led by example, did very little wrong.
I'll give him a strong 8. I think that on occasions, he needs to have more involvement in the game, given how good his touch actually is. He is obviously one of the more skilled players.
Fair comment.
Occasionally, you'd have him sort of... And it might be due to injury, I'm not sure, but he'd be making sort of 60 metres with like 10 touches or whatever. And you need more out of a premier player like that. But an amazing player, happy he's a Shark, yeah.
Good stuff. All right, now this is going to be a hard one to rate. James Maloney represented Australia. And congratulations are being selected as 5'8 this weekend. New South Wales origin and also New South Wales country origin. 20 games, 4 tries, 71 goals, 3 field goals, 20 million penalties, and 40,000 errors.
Yeah.
Very hard to rate. When he was on, but he was certainly off more than he was on this year.
Yeah, difficult season for him coming off 2016. I'm happy he's in the team. I'm on the record as saying I want to keep him, but I couldn't give him more than a 6.5 this year. Yeah. And I'm basing that on all the skill and experience he brings. He should be getting 9s and 10s. So he needs to improve. And it's 100% the errors and the penalties. And
it's craziness.
That's not why I'm dropping 3.5 off him. But it is ridiculous to be that way. And I think it just leads to other bad elements of your game. So he's integral. If he's not going to be an 8.5 player for us next year, then we need to look at moving him on. But I still believe he can be that.
So. I agree with everything that you said. We're not standing here saying he's crap.
No.
He's a rubbish player. He's an elite player.
He won us a comp.
He's playing for Australia. But the errors and penalties this year, it was almost like he was deliberately doing it to piss us off.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like at times. And you can't give him more than a 6.5. All right, we'll skip over Daniel Mortimer, had no impact. Joseph Paulo.
Well, he was good when he came off the bench for the couple of games.
You can't rate him for two games.
Didn't he win us the game? Didn't he get a field goal or something? Or?
No points, no tries, no goals, no anything.
I know nothing about the Sharks.
Joseph Paulo, 10 matches, no tries, a couple of try assists. I thought he was pretty good when he came on, 6.
Yeah, maybe even 6.5. I'm happy to have him on the bench. He has skill for a big fella. I like the fact that usually we don't play him as a playmaker. He's a ball-playing back rower. And happy he's around for another year. Top fella. Not that that necessarily means you get a contract, but top fella. And yep. he can play a role, that's for sure.
And I thought he was underutilised. I thought absolutely. There were several games where I'm sitting on the bench going, God, we could use someone like Paulo.
Absolutely.
Just to change things up.
He would almost be, with the clientele we have right now, he would almost be my instant sub along with Bakuya. Just yep. put them in straight away. So.
Yeah. Matt Pryor, 23 games, one off the bench, one try. And not as strong a year as 2016, but still very, very, very solid, reliable, tough.
Yep.
7 for mine.
Yeah, give him a 7, I agree with that. I think that, again, he probably has more time and minutes in him than what he's getting. And I think sometimes, you know, people look at the stats and the meters and go, oh, he's down a bit, he's 60 meters here, 70 there. That has a lot to do with the time on the field. When he's on the field, he's pretty good. I'm a pretty big fan, actually. I never thought years ago I wouldn't have said that.
Oh, when we signed him, I was like, what are we signing this Pelican for?
Yeah, but he's more than solid.
Yeah.
And I hope he has a bigger year next year. But I think he needs more time on the field.
Okay. Jesse Ramian played one game. Jesse Ramian Noodle for one try. We can't really rate that. James Seguiaro. Two games started, 10 off the bench, one try. 4 out of 10. What can you say that hasn't been said? He was terrible.
I don't know how low I can go here, Newman, like without you falling off your chair.
He was awful. 4's too high.
For the money he's on, which is substantial, not crazy, but substantial, the past history that he has of being a decent player... He didn't offer anything except for clumsiness and
confusion,
lack of attack.
Yeah,
he did help us win the game in Melbourne, which was his debut game, and you can't hang your hat on that forever. I don't know where he fits in because I've got the kid playing 80 minutes.
Yeah,
and he's too important. He's on too much money to be a backup.
We say this all the time. You're better off with the kid 80 minutes and Paulo on the bench, and if the kid goes down for whatever reason, you slide Paulo or even Wade Graham. They did that with Australia. You can put them in there at a pinch.
And we have some guys coming through the younger grades who will be up to standard to be replacements as well, so I'm giving him a 3.
Yeah.
But he, again, is a guy who could come out this year and have an amazing season. I'm not saying he's a rubbish player.
But he played rubbish this year.
He played rubbish this
year. Sam, take it easy. 12 games, 10 off the bench, 2 started, no tries. Another one doing a nudie run. Bit of an up and down year for Sam. Probably give him a 5.5. Start of the year, he was really ineffective and a bit of an error machine. But then later, when he got dropped and came back, he looked quite good.
I'll give him a 5, Newman. It's a respectable 5. He needs to make every moment count at this stage of his career, and he's not really doing that. Definitely had a better end to the year than start. What's happening? Is he signing? What's
still
doing?
No news about he's in limbo. He's signing. So he's in that limbo position now where they'll probably throw him a really breadcrumbs contract because no one else is taking him up as an option.
I'd be cool with that.
Does he get an extra point for the great chat we have with him at the Monty Porter Medal Night?
Oh, look, he's a terrific fella. He doesn't
what
get
about
an extra
that?
Point.
What he's telling us about his uncle that had 11 kids and...
It was a good chat. And
he's a great fella.
That gentleman came up and congratulated him on signing for Manly.
We have to relay this funny story.
No names.
We were talking to Sam Tagatizzi And he was saying how frustrating it was that he was reading in the paper all the time that he'd signed for Manly or he was going to the English Super League. And he's like, none of this is true when I read about it in the paper. And then literally as he said that, this guy walks up and says, hey, Sam, congratulations for signing for Manly. Good luck in the future. And he's like, yeah, thanks, bro.
He's a good fella. He won the one of the community awards, the high-profile community awards, doing a lot off the field. I think that he can be an absolute beast and monster. When he left the Titans, he was in good form. He's had good form for us. He's got it in him. He just needs to get it out.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for another year on a smaller contract.
2013, he was immense for us.
Yeah. He's still got it in him. I mean, he's a fit dude. He just needs to get a bit more angry.
Yeah, I know. And lastly, the Chad, the Marshall Brady hairdo. He played 25 games, 6 tries, 2 goals, and 1 field goal. And I thought he was solid and reliable without being spectacular, so that's a 7.
I'd probably go a little bit below that for 6.5. I'm a Chad man. I'm on board. He was reliable, but I thought, obviously, the year before he was, you know, an 8.5. This year, yeah, probably a 6.5 for me.
Didn't seem to run it as much, did he?
No, and just some bad choices with decisions, which usually is pretty calm and cool. So
actually, I'm cutting mine back. I remember some really, really, really crucial, I said really 3 times, very crucial errors at crucial times, just dropping the ball off, you know, at first receiver.
Yeah,
6.5 for me.
Yeah, and again, he'll improve next year. He'll be better. He's an intelligent guy. I follow him on social media. He's an incredibly intelligent guy. He cares a lot about his career and his club. And I think he's a lifer. And I think he'll have a better year for the year that he's had this year.
All right.
You've left out one person who made me a lot of money this year. That was Tony Williams. I'm giving him a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
How good was he in his only game for Cronulla? He was a 10 out of 10. Right, he played 5 minutes.
I'm going to balance that out by giving him none out of 10, so that's a 5 out of 10 for
Tony
Williams.
How did he get none by scoring a try and then doing his ACL and getting off the field? That's a 10.
Because he sucks. All right.
He sucked that the money out of sports bets, what he did. What a year.
What a year. We want to thank all of our listeners for coming along with us for the ride. We want to thank everybody who showed up to Sharkcast TV's 50th party. We want to very much thank our sponsors, who are
Dyson Logistics, the best logistics company in the world,
Endeavour Property Services, and Shark Island Brewing Company. Comes my wife now. Who was your favourite Sharks player for the year? Michelle Newman.
Oh boy, way to put me under pressure. Luke Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
This is a massive stitch up.
Mrs. Newman.
Hang on, I'll just get Mrs. Shinazzi along. Mrs. Shinazzi, who was your favourite player? Valentine Holmes. Okay. Good one, sweetie. I'm kidding. I just disrespected Michelle on worldwide podcasting.
Oh, come on. Make sure you keep the emails coming through to us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Make sure you support our sponsors. And as we say every week,
don't freak out if you don't see us on SoundCloud soon. We've gone to Wooshka.
Wooshka.
Now, Wooshka is a very good podcasting platform. If you put it in Google, you'll find it really easily. We're already on there. All of our millions of episodes are on there for you to listen to. And SoundCloud may be around for a little while, but we're going to ease our way over to Wooshka. So definitely look for us there.
The reason we've changed is that it costs money to put...
We don't need to say why we've changed.
Well, no. It's fair. We want to be transparent to our listeners.
I want to tell them nothing.
It costs money for us to put our episodes up on SoundCloud, and Wooshka is free, which is makes a big difference to us.
It's also a better service.
It's also a better service, but it doesn't change the fact that we're on iTunes every week, which is...
No, of course not.
Most people would listen to
us. Of course not. But if you do go to SoundCloud, which we do have followers on there, I don't know if we'll disappear from there, but I'm not sure if new episodes will appear there. So follow us on social media is the best thing you can do, and you'll find out all the latest gossip and news, and including you'll have a link from Wooshka.
Okay. That wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Pod. And as we say every week,
go, you Sharkies, go!
The Mighty Sharks.